preach in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Welcome back to the Hackberry House, a daily podcast devoted to the Word of God and the persecuted church. My name is Bob. This is podcast number 182. It's June the 10th, 2015. Well, today we have more pointers for those who will preach the gospel, given by one who did preach the gospel until his last days. Part 3 of Robert Traill's message, By What Means May Ministers Best Win Souls? Because the ministry of the word is the main instrument for winning souls, I shall therefore add somewhat more particularly concerning this, and that both as to the matter and manner of preaching. First, for the subject matter of gospel preaching, it is determined by the apostle expressly to be Christ crucified. Two things ministers have to do about him in preaching him to them that are without. First, to set him forth to people, to paint him in his love, excellency, and ability to save. Second, to offer him to them freely, fully, without any limitation as to sinners or their sinful state. And then Christ's laws or will to be published to them that receive him and are his for the rule of their walk, and his promises for the measure and foundation of all their hopes and expectations, and his grace and fullness for their supply in every case till they be brought to heaven. This was the simplicity of the gospel that remained but a little while in the Christian church, for ceremonies amongst the Jews and sinful mixtures of vain philosophy amongst the Gentiles did by degrees so corrupt the gospel that the mystery of iniquity ripened in the production of Antichrist. It was a sad observation of the 4th century that it became a matter of learning and ingenuity to be a Christian. The meaning was that too much weight was laid on notions and matters of opinion, and less regard had unto the soundness of the heart and holiness of the life. In the beginning of the Reformation from popery, the worthies whom God raised up in several countries did excellently in retrieving the simplicity of the gospel from the popish mixtures. But that good work took a stand quickly and is on the declining greatly. How little of Jesus Christ is there in some pulpits. It is seen as to success that whatever the law does in alarming sinners, it is still the gospel voice that is the key that opens the heart to Jesus Christ. Would ministers win souls? Let them have more of Jesus Christ in their dealing with men and less of other things that never profit them that are exercised therein. As for the manner of successful preaching, I shall give it in a negative and positive from these two places, 1 Corinthians 1:17 and 1 Corinthians 2, verses 1 to 4. First, what this negative disowns is our inquiry. The words are full. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Again, he says, I came not to you with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. Again, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. These are the words of the Holy Ghost concerning a way of preaching that is unprofitable, a way that it seems was in use and respect with the Corinthians. An honest Paul was despised by them for his simple and plain way, different from theirs. I shall only instance in things that this scriptural negative doth check and reprove in the way of preaching. One, the establishing and advancing of divine truth upon the foundation of human reason, as if there were some weakness and insufficiency in those methods and arguments of working on men's consciences that the Holy Ghost prescribes. The great foundation of all a minister has to say is, Thus saith the Lord. And a grave declaring of the testimony of God in this manner is ministers' duty, and will have more authority on men's consciences than many human reasons. There is a rational preaching, as it is called, wherein men do not satisfy themselves to make use of reason as a tool and instrument, and then its use is excellent, but will establish it as a judge and dictator in all divine matters and truth, and so in effect turn all their preaching into little better things than the lectures of the philosophers of old, save that the poor pagans were more sincere in their morals and serious in delivering their opinions. Let a minister, therefore, still think with himself that a plain scripture testimony is his main argument, and accordingly let him use it. When he teaches philosophy, when he teacheth men the will of God about salvation, he's in distinct provinces, and his management of his work therein should be very different. Two, it is to preach with excellency of speech and words of man's wisdom, when men think to reach the gospel end on sinners by force of even spiritual reason and persuasion. This corrupt thought rises in some from an imagination that moral persuasion is all that is needed for converting a sinner. And in some, this thought rises on a better account, that the light of the glory of God in the gospel shines so brightly in upon their own hearts that they fall into this conceit that no man can stand before that light in which they can hold forth. Melanchthon's mistake at first, till experience made him wiser. Hast thou a clear knowledge of gospel mysteries, and the word of exhortation is with thee also, so that thou art qualified to urge, beseech, and plead warmly with sinners on Christ's behalf? Take heed of this snare, lest thou think that thy wisdom and gifts can promote and carry on the gospel design on men. Three, this also is checked in the apostle's words, the setting forth the beauty of the gospel by human art. The truth of the gospel shines best in its bare proposal, and its beauty in its simple and naked discovery. We may observe from church history that still as soundness of doctrine and the power of godliness decayed in the church, the vanity of an affected way of speaking and of writing of divine things came in. Quotations from the fathers, Latin, languages, pitiful ornaments unto preaching, if a man design conversion and soul edification. And yet more despicable are all playing on words, jinglings, the cadences which things are, and all the rules of true eloquence justly exploded. And yet some men reckon much on them. But would any man think his friend in earnest with him, that would accost him in any affair with such sort of language and gesture? Moving on then, the positive is in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. First, Paul preached so as to give a demonstration that the Holy Ghost was in him, sanctifying him. This is a plain and blessed thing. Happy is the minister that manages his work so that if the hearers get not a demonstration of great parts and learning, yet they have a demonstration of the sanctifying Spirit of God in the minister. Two, Paul preached so as to give a demonstration that the Spirit of God was with him, assisting and helping him in his work, even when he was amongst them in much weakness, fear, and trembling. Happy is the minister that can preach this way. He must be a depender upon assistance from the Holy Ghost. Three, Paul preached so as a demonstration of the power of the Holy Ghost was given to the hearts of the hearers. The Spirit of God so wrought on them by his power in and by Paul's preaching, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. This is the principal thing to be aimed at, and it is the proper source of all profitable preaching. Third, to conclude, you that are ministers, suffer a word of exhortation. Men, brethren, fathers, you are called to a high and holy calling. Your work is full of danger, full of duty, full of mercy, We are called to the winning of souls, an employment near akin unto our Lord's work, the saving of souls. And the nearer your spirits be in conformity to his holy temper and frame, the fitter you are for, and the more fruitful you shall be in your work. None of you are ignorant of the begun departure of our glory, and the daily advance of its departure, and the sad appearances of the Lord's being about to leave us utterly. Should not these signs of the times rouse up ministers to greater seriousness? What can be the reason of this sad observation, that when formerly so few lights raised up in the nation did shine so as to scatter and dispel the darkness of popery in a little time, yet now, when there are more and more learned men amongst us, the darkness comes on apace? Is it not because they were men filled with the Holy Ghost and with power? And many of us are only filled with light and knowledge and efficacious notions of God's truth. Doth not always the spirit of the ministers propagate itself amongst the people? A lively ministry and lively Christians. Therefore, be serious at heart. Believe, and so speak. Feel, and so speak. And as you teach, so do. And then people will feel what you say and obey the word of God. Lastly, for people other than ministers, it is not unfit that you should hear of ministers' work and duty and difficulties. You see that all is of your concernment. All things are for your sake, as the apostle says in another case. And so I entreat you, pity us. We are not angels, but men of like passions with yourselves. Be fuller of charity than of censure. We have all that you have to do about the saving of our own souls, and a great work besides about the saving of yours. We have all your difficulties as Christians, and some that you are not acquainted with, that are only ministers' temptations and trials. Secondly, help us in our work. If you can do anything, help us in the work of winning souls. What can we do, you say? Oh, a great deal. Be but one to Christ, and we are made. Make haste to heaven, that you and we may meet joyfully before the throne of God and the Lamb. And thirdly, pray for us. How often and how earnestly does Paul beg the prayers of the churches? If he did so, he did so. How much more should we beg them and you grant them? For our necessities and weaknesses are greater than his. Finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith. Well, thank you for joining me today. I hope this series of three messages, which is really one message, was a blessing to you as it was to me. Tomorrow, a word from Richard Bennett. Next couple of days, we're going to spend some time with a former Catholic priest. Now, this brother is still living, but he wrote an article just recently and said that anybody that wanted it could take it, and so people are taking it, and I want to share it with you. From Richard Bennett, former Catholic priest, now a man of God, and warning God's people everywhere about Romanism. You thought that Romanism is going to take a pass because Islam is now taking center stage as the evil of the world? No, Romanism has to continue to be raised up before the people of God as a place of danger, place of evil, a place historically of world power, not necessarily the power of God, although we know that inside Rome, here and there, there are godly and good people, people who want the Lord. Most of the time, they just come on out of there, as did Richard Bennett. Well, don't forget 1 Corinthians 2:5 that we started with. Preach in demonstration of the Spirit and of power.